Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Nancy, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
How did you first find Organize 365?
So when I did my master's degree, one of my profs became a Facebook friend, and she posted on Facebook that she had a Sunday basket. And at the time, I was like, what is this amazing idea? And so she kind of directed me to you and your podcast. And then, of course, I started, like everyone, just listening to everything you've ever put out and kind of got involved that way.
What were you getting your master's in?
It's master's of nursing and nurse practitioner. So I'm a primary care nurse practitioner.
Okay. Awesome. I think that's such a neat degree because a nurse practitioner, you can prescribe medicine, right?
Yeah. So especially in Ontario, our scope of practice is pretty well what you would think of a family doctor or general practitioner. There's not much I can't do.
Yeah, so. I think it's a degree people don't know much about. I just think a nurse practitioner degree is great. I love to go to nurse practitioners as my doctor. Yeah.
Well, my job at the time actually was in a community just outside of where I live. And the government actually funds nurse practitioner-like clinics. So I was, you know, practicing independently, had my own patients, but it was a commute. So I listened to a lot of your podcasts on my commute there and back. And that's, I think a lot of people don't even realize that nurse practitioners exist if they've never actually come in contact to us. And I like to think about it as bringing all the great things about nursing and the looking at the whole person, but bringing that ability to kind of provide extra care.
Well, I will say that when I got put on antidepressants like 12 years ago, it was because my doctor couldn't see me that day. And so they gave me the nurse practitioner, and I had been asking my doctor about antidepressants and like everything that was going on in my life and how overwhelmed I was. And this practice at the time was whatever your malady was, you were allowed one and only one. And so when you came in, you could be seen for whatever that malady was. And then if you had additional symptoms, you needed to make a completely different appointment. They would not see you and they would not deal with more than one thing. They'd be like, yeah, you're going to have to come back later for that. And I was going to 100 doctor's appointments a year for my kids. So like I couldn't make another appointment for me for a secondary thing. And it just so happens I got the nurse practitioner the next time I came in instead of the doctor. And I came in for, I don't know, asthma or something like that. And I said, well, actually, there's this like depression thing. And she's like, oh, well, tell me about it. And so then she went and she's the one that actually got me the antidepressant medication because she would listen to me and she gave me more time. And she was like, oh, this, you actually need to be medicated for this. Like you need some intervention. I was like, I've been trying for 2 years to get intervention. And it was her that finally said, yeah, let's try some things.
Well, and I work with great physicians and some physicians are really great at picking up on those cues, but I get paid differently than a lot of the doctors where they get paid per visit and I get paid salaried. So if I see a patient and I think they need extra time, I can take whatever time I want. I'm in control of my schedule. So a lot of people, that's a benefit. When you know you have six problems and they might all be connected and you're not sure, and you can sit, if I know that ahead of time, I can book you in to deal with all six issues at once.
Yeah, I think we all need to become more knowledgeable about the resources and the different services that are available to us in every facet of society, and specifically in medicine. Like, you know, I'm 50, and so I'm actually 50 now. And so I go in.
Yes, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. But I mean, when I go in, I mean, like I've got half a century worth of, you know, issues that have built up, and, you know, there's just a lot there. So you need a gynecologist, a dentist, a primary care, you need all these different doctors, but also you need somebody that can look holistically at it like you can. And that's why I actually love nurse practitioners. It was way back then, like 12 years ago, where I said, you know, I see medicine headed more towards a nurse practitioner being an ideal medical provider because they have that skill set of nursing with the skill set of, you know, that medical of being able to use medications as needed to help in certain situations. And so I saw a time in the future where it would be a very great way to receive your medical care.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, I think sometimes navigating the system is challenging. So even talking to a healthcare provider that can explain to you how to navigate things, I mean, how much of that is confusing. I mean, that's why your medical binder works so well, because trying to remember all these pieces of information and figure out who you need to see and why is overwhelming.
Yeah, I totally agree. So we've gotten one question done. I've totally derailed already. Nancy, you're a really good sport that you're just going to follow me down whatever path we go down. But tell us, who lives with you and your family?
So I live with my husband. We have two kids, a 2.5-year-old boy and a 4-month-old girl. We have also 3 cats and a ton of fish. So when you said your husband was into aquariums, I have the same problem.
Greg has decided he can't get the aquarium because then Grayson's just going to pull everything down. So it's now another 5 years before he'll get his aquarium. Maybe we'll have to come to Canada to see yours.
Well, or wait till Grayson is very excited for the aquarium.
Yeah, which I'm sure he will be. I'm sure we'll have one sooner rather than later. Okay, so you mentioned that in college was when you heard about the Sunday Basket from your professor. Were you looking for an organizational system? Like, why did that even like pique your interest?
So it wasn't actually when I was in college. It was when I left college, but I was actually on parental leave with my first. And I think I started realizing that organizing my life was getting pretty easy, but I was starting to become more responsible for organizing other people. One thing that kind of has come to light recently is that my husband, who's a very smart, successful guy, probably has ADHD. And I think I've been also doing a lot of the executive functioning for him as well. Mm-hmm. And it just became harder. There was more in general. You're just dealing with bigger volumes, organizing multiple calendars and the whole nine yards. And I just felt like I needed to have my brain clear.
So what did you try? Like, had you tried other things before Organize 365? How did you get started?
So I probably tried everything under the sun. Before I met my husband, actually Marie Kondo'd my life. And at the time, as a single woman with a small apartment, it worked very well. There's just less volume. So it's easy to organize when you just have less stuff. When I was on mat leave, I discovered the home edit and did make some beautiful Instagrammable organization systems in my home, but that worked for my stuff, not for my husband or having a kid or all the other things. So when you talked about functional organization, that just kind of made sense to me. And also, I think just the fact that I need to make systems that would work for everybody in my household.
So what did you do first with Organize 365?
So I actually did not do the Sunday Basket first, ironically, because that was my thing to get into it. I went All Access first, when that's what it was called, because I was really interested in the binders. Funny enough, because that was the last thing I actually did. But so I kind of started with the 100-day home program. And like you warn everyone, never have actually gone through the whole 100 days. But then I finally tried to do my own Sunday Basket, didn't work, purchased the system, did it, and then realized that that is absolutely one of the, you know, key points of getting myself really organized.
Was the Sunday Basket.
The Sunday Basket. Because I, as a millennial, and you tell people on this on your podcast all the time, thought I really didn't have that much paper. And then realized, no, I still have paper. But even just the idea of the Sunday Basket, you can turn that into making yourself digital systems that also work well. Yes. So I process my email in a Sunday Basket format now. If it can wait, I put it in my Google tasks. I deal with it on Sunday.
How long do you think it takes you to do the Sunday basket on Sunday?
Honestly, at this point, barely any time. And I rarely actually do it on Sunday.
Okay. When do you do it?
Usually on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday when the toddler's at daycare, because that's just okay. Me and the infant. It probably takes me half an hour. And I think that's not typical, but I think it's because I've been doing it for a while. And because I just already, I've gone to the point where my other systems also work well for me. So
yes, some of the things that take time on Sunday, once you do it for a while, you're like, oh, I'll just put that on a recurring order. Oh, I'll just do that with this. Oh, it just becomes a habit versus sitting down and mentally thinking about what needs to be done. And by the time I get to the Sunday basket time, I've already during Sunday done a lot of the things I used to do sitting at the Sunday basket time automatically over the weekend. So by the time I get there, it's like, what have I forgotten and I haven't gotten done yet versus how do I get everything done?
And I think a lot of my, because of the way I've always, again, probably just being younger, a lot of electronic systems, you know, my banking and all that has been automated. And I think that also helps kind of reduce it. But there's still paper going into the house. There's still calendars that I need to make sure that everyone knows where they're going to be and where and who's responsible for what. So it still is valuable time.
And specifically since you do it digitally, and just for the record, almost everybody who does the Sunday basket has at least a digital component to it after they do it for 6 weeks. And some people like you, it's mostly digital. So you totally can make this digital. I just teach it in an analog form. So you were doing it on your own. You created your own Sunday basket and then you got the actual Sunday basket. What was the difference those first couple of weeks when you had the physical basket? What was it that made it click more for you?
It was just the quality of the product made it easier to actually not lose things, use the boxes it's meant to. So just drop things in and leave them. And I think also having gone, you know, I haven't done a lot of the sitting and watching the Sunday basket group as often as I'd like to. But when I have, just seeing it a few times and seeing how people have used the Sunday basket made it make just those little details that make it more customizable to your own life.
Yeah, that Sunday basket club that comes with the Sunday basket. So the Sunday basket is a physical product. It gets shipped to your house. It has a playbook. It has slash buckets. It has the box. It's $97 and it comes with an online dashboard of on-demand videos that you can watch and all that kind of stuff and printables that you can download. But in addition to that, there's a Sunday basket club, which happens like 47, 48 weeks out of the year on Sunday for 90 minutes where you can join in with people doing it live or you can watch it as a replay and just kind of co-work doing your Sunday basket. But it's led by the Organized 365 team. So they're actually saying, do this. Okay, now it's time to do this. Okay, now it's time to do this. And the person leading is actually doing their Sunday basket with you. And you really are like, it's that community of doing it together that I don't think that I've articulated very well is included in this $197 purchase. And that club is like a lifetime membership.
Well, and that's what I loved about all your products, because you always say when you have littles, and I discovered Organized 365 when I had littles, that you should just take a nap, which is absolutely true. But, you know, I've been able to work on things at my own pace. My plan while I'm on parental leave is to finally finish up my binders, but I didn't have to stress about, well, you know, this, I won't have the resources I need to work on the binders because this is a, you know, limited time deal. I knew that I had access and I could just tackle things. And as I tackle one thing, I got more time. So I had a little bit more time to tackle the next.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is that little bit more time. At first, it feels like, oh, it's only an hour. It's only half hour. Like, what can I possibly do with that? But as it starts to accumulate, you start to say, oh my gosh, I can read a book now. I can, you know, like take the kids to mommy and me or whatever. Like there are a lot more ways you can use that time. It's not like you get time that you don't use at all, but you get more capacity to do more because you're not checking things off a list so much. Do you feel that way?
Yes. I think that's the biggest thing is I know that one of the questions you always ask is, you know, what do you have more of? And
yes,
this was the question that I had a great answer. And then I thought, What I have more of is time where I'm just snuggling my baby and I'm not worrying about, oh, I need to do the dishes or the laundry or do we, because I know that stuff is taken care of and I just can sit there and go, okay, I'm just going to let her snuggle in my arms for that extra half hour I wouldn't have before.
I tell you, when I get home from work, like, and I joke to Greg and I say, you know, as soon as I step foot in the door, I of course want to grab Grayson. And Abby very much wants me to grab Grayson. And now we go on a walk and we have dinner and I do bath time and I put him to bed. And it's like, sometimes it's two and a half hours and Abby just holds him like for 5 seconds. And I feel great, very grateful that she shares him with me and that she is happy that I'm helping her with Grayson and that she's giving me that time. And then when I rock him and he falls asleep, I hold him for an extra like 5-10 minutes, even though I've already had him for two and a half hours. Sometimes I'm like, I'll never get this time back. Like eventually she won't live here. I probably won't live with my other grandchildren. We may never have other grandchildren. I don't know. But at this time, like, it's not productive time. It's like, no one, he won't even remember that I did that, but I will. Like, I'll remember this time that I had with him. And I just love it so much. So I commend you. And I recommend you snuggle her even more than you are, even more snuggle. Oh. You cannot spoil her.
Well, and I know she's our last, so I am definitely just enjoying every last moment with her because she is a sweet, snuggly baby. And yeah, it is important, even if it's not productive.
And isn't it funny? Like, they change so fast. Like, it's like every day they do a new thing. I'm like, oh, that's new. Oh, that laugh is new. Oh, the way he's holding his pacifier is new. And I just love watching all of it. I didn't get to enjoy all of that with my kids. So I was so worried about everything else. And I'm like, this is great to be a grandma. Cause like, I know the mortgage is going to get paid so I can just snuggle this baby and not worry about it as much. And I think, I mean, that's such a privilege, right?
Yes.
Not everyone can do that.
But I also think like lucky Abby, I mean, having two kids in a pandemic where we just haven't had the support we normally would. I hope she really appreciates that as much as, you know, sometimes you want to be the parent, it is nice to have someone that loves your kid and is able to support you. So I hope she understands how lucky she is because it is so lovely to have a grandparent who just is involved.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents and Greg's parents, like they would be involved like on vacations and holidays and things, but not on the day to day. And it is much harder raising kids without grandparent support and always having to pay for a babysitter every time you need, like just even an hour away. It's a lot. Like it's a lot not to have that emotional break as much as the physical break, just the like this baby who's dependent on me, there's somebody else here. And you obviously have a spouse, but I mean, you both get exhausted. So it's like, okay, somebody else has them for a certain amount of time and I can do something for me or as a couple. I'm happy to provide it. I'm going on that, you know, out to Baltimore to speak and do a couple of Lisa Lives. And I plan on doing a lot more traveling in Q3 and Q4. And I'm like, oh, but when I get back, he will have had all these new growth spurts that I won't know about, but that'll be good for her and me. I think, I don't think I should stay this as attached forever.
You know, FaceTime or, you know, It's amazing. My parents live 8 hours away, and especially during the pandemic when you really couldn't go anywhere, my kids have gotten a lot of FaceTime with Nana and Granddad. I must say,
I bet.
You know, they don't feel like they missed out on as much as they would have otherwise.
Yeah, and it's cleaner. Like your clothes don't get a mess during FaceTime. I like as soon as I come home, I'm like, okay, I have to change first. Like he gets stuff on everything. I forgot how much laundry you have to do with babies. So much laundry.
Every day, one load at least.
Every day. Okay. So you got the Sunday basket going, you got all access. After you had some success, what did you do next? Or when was the first time that you noticed that something was organized that had not been organized before? Like this is working.
I think it really is the first time that you realize you can find a paper without even thinking about it. You know exactly where it is. I think paper has always been something that was a bit more of a struggle, but probably the time where that was most impactful is 5 weeks after I had our baby girl. My husband woke me up at midnight and told me someone was sitting on his chest and ended up having a heart attack. And so, of course, you know, not what you expect, had, you know, called 911 and all that. But I knew exactly where to find his medications. I knew exactly where everything was. And in those situations where, even though I'm a healthcare professional and I used to work Emerge, you still, it's different when it's your spouse. Mm-hmm. Just knowing where everything was and knowing that you could get it in the 2 minutes it would take for the ambulance to get there, you can't put a price on how much that matters.
Wow. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's doing fine. I mean, best of a worst case scenario. Yes, he had a heart attack, but you know, it wasn't major and he got great care and is doing really well. But not the thing you expect when your husband's in his early 40s and he just had a kid. So yeah.
Wow. I mean, I'm so sorry. Like, segue into funny next story doesn't work after that, right? But it is so true. And it's almost like, well, I am a mom and now I'm a grandma. And I'm always like, you should have your paperwork in order in case you ever have an emergency. Maybe I should just play into that. It's so true though. Like, you always need paperwork in an emergency and it's either ready for you or it's not. And it either adds more stress or it gives you a sense of control. It does those things. And so I'm so glad that you started on your organizational journey and that you could find that paperwork. I'm so sorry that you had to experience that unexpected event.
Well, it just, it is one of those things where, yeah, of course it's a terrible situation, but it's one of those humbling things because, you know, the first thing I did was call my in-laws and they drove over right away to hang out with me and the kids. And then my sister drove from 2 hours away to stay with me for a couple of days so that while my parents were dealing with their own things so they could come and stay, we had people drop off food and the amount of well wishes. And you just go, okay, like, you know, this is not great news, but the amount of love and care we received is just so humbling. People can be so great. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I'd used up all my goodwill when, you know, you have the second kid, people are already dropping off the meals and giving you the gifts. And then 5 weeks later, it's like the same people are dropping off more food and doing what they can to help out. And you're just going, okay, you know, I'm really lucky. There's some really great people in my life.
Yeah. And people, like, if you just have conversations with real people, if you listen to real people's stories, if you can find enough time to have that conversation and be in relationship with people, at the end of the day, that's what we have, right? Like, I mean, the stuff, whatever is stuff, but it's the people that get you through the entirety of your life and having the capacity for that too, both for them and for you. I'm glad you were able to accept the gifts that were given to you. So I know you already mentioned kind of what you have more of now and how you're using that time. Anything else you wanted to share about that?
I'm a better mother because I feel organized. I don't think people realize how much that when they talk about the mental load of motherhood and all the things you are keeping track of in the house, how much that actually affects you. So, you know, when you're sitting there with your kids and just wanting to be present, not thinking about all the other things that you could or should be doing and just being there with them, it makes me more patient with both my husband and my kids. And, you know, I think that's also one of the biggest benefits to just getting my life organized.
Yeah. That ability to be present. I remember when my kids were little, not being able to be present and being frustrated with myself. Like, how can you be a school teacher and do preschool with kids, but then your own kids, you're like, okay, it's been 5 minutes. Can we be done playing now? You know, I was not as patient with my kids as I was with my kids when I was a school teacher or my grandchild. And I think it's fine, but I do remember wishing there was a way I could have solved that when my kids were really little.
Yeah. Cause we all have these very full lives and just sitting there and watching your kid play. Most people talk about that doesn't really happen till your grandparents. And I'm not always able to do that being the parent, but having at least more of those moments than I think I would have otherwise.
Yeah. And a lot of people with young children say the same exact thing. So that is so huge. Like, isn't that kind of what we were promised? Like in this technological age with all these productivity apps and everything, that you would be able to have more time, present time with your family, because you wouldn't have to do all these things that they had to do in the olden days. So I like to hear more and more families that are getting to actually experience some of that. Obviously not all, but even if you get 20, 30, 40 minutes a day, that could be a really meaningful time with your kids.
Yeah. I mean, my kids are better behaved if I can just, especially my toddler, if I give him some devoted time of mom time, he is a much better kid.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense, right? Is there anything you wish you had known sooner?
I'm going to go back with being a millennial, and I wish someone had have explained to me that being an adult was managing all the paperwork and the to-dos and how to do that. No one teaches you these skills. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you talk about organization being a learnable skill, it is, but I'm a quite a smart person, but I was getting overwhelmed by my household. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have those tools, and I did need to figure out a way to learn those tools for myself.
Yeah. We have a bunch of 20-ish age employees here at Organize 365, and I put them through the launch program, and they were like, this is all the things we want to know, but we don't know how to ask, and nobody has taught us. And I was like, okay, that's a great description of the launch binder.
Well, and because that's what you try to do as a parent, is you realize you're trying to teach your kids all these skills.
Yeah.
That sometimes you just have to make it explicit, because they don't know that you're not supposed to yell at the top of your lungs in a restaurant, or how to get dressed. And, you know, same thing with organization. Someone has to make what some people do really well naturally and make it really explicit.
Agreed. What advice would you give to someone who is just starting on their organization journey?
Start small. It is a long process. It will, because I did the thing that you're not supposed to do, which is try to do it when you have little ones at home. But that small little investment here and there has made it a lot easier to keep going. And it doesn't matter how fast you do it. It really doesn't.
No one's keeping track, right?
Yep. I mean, I'm still working on my binders. I don't expect that I'll be done for another 6 months, because I'm just doing it a bit at a time. But just knowing that my binders are getting together and that I have that information and I know where it is already giving me way less stress.
That is so awesome. Nancy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.